Speaking on this program is Bill Boyd.
The parable of the tares. Now, why did Jesus tell this parable? And what is the point of all this? The tares, what we know about bearded darnel, fits exactly the characteristics of these tares that we read about in this. It's interesting the name tares. A tare, the seed of bearded darnel, is a poison. And it induces, it upsets the digestive system and can be used to induce vomiting. That very Greek word that translated tares is a word that comes from the word vomit. And so that is, everything seems to match if that's bearded darnel, and the characteristics of it fit where you could harvest that out of the wheat field and then go in and harvest that wheat. Well, now, what's the point of the parable? Well, in this, we have the interpretation. This is the second parable, and there's only two parables where Jesus really told us what they mean. The parable of the sower, and then this other parable of these other sowers, which is called the parable of the tares of the field. And it's in Matthew 13, 36 through 40. And almost reading it, now I kind of abbreviated a little bit, but almost just reading right down the line, "He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom. The tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them," now that's the devil. "The harvest is the end of the world. The reapers are the angels." You can use that and decode the parable. You can almost go right back up to the parable and substitute these words for the words that are in the parable and read it as a direct teaching rather than a parabolic teaching. And here it is. The Son of Man placed the children of the kingdom in the world. The devil placed the children of the wicked one among them. When they begin to bear fruit, the servants of the Son of Man ask if they should take the children of the devil out of the world. But the Son of Man said, "No, lest when you take out the children of the devil, you harm the children of the kingdom. At the end of the world, I'll send my angels to remove the children of the devil and burn them, and to gather the children of the kingdom into safekeeping." And so that's the interpretation of that parable. Let's look at a few of the key words in here. The Son of Man. Jesus identified the sower there as the Son of Man. Jesus is a man like we, not just physically, but emotionally too. He suffered like we. And when Jesus refers to himself as the Son of Man, he is referring to himself as a man, as one of us in the flesh. That would make me think that he's talking about the results of his earthly ministry when he's talking about the Son of Man sowing this seed into the kingdom. It's a common expression, but it's very uncommon for anyone but Jesus himself to refer to himself in this fashion. But he's identifying with us, with humanity. Then there's the good seed. The good seed is the children of the kingdom. Now, in the previous parable, the parable of the sower, the good seed was the word of the kingdom. The word of the kingdom that produces the children of the kingdom. Now, you've got this bad seed also. We need to pay real close attention to the seed that is being sown. I need to make sure when I'm preaching that I'm sowing good seed. Not the seed of the evil one, but the seed of the Son of Man. The good seed. It's the teachings of the gospel that will produce Christians. You've got to have denominational teaching to produce denominations. You've got to have sectarian teaching to produce sects. You've got to have a perverted teaching. You'll reap what you sow. And so we need to sow good seed. Everyone that comes and gathers together, and in this part of the worship, you need to be seed inspectors. Get your seed catalogs out and look at the pictures of the seed. Or get your little identification book and say, "Now, is that the seed that the preacher is sowing?" Don't just depend on the preacher. You'd be actively as seed inspectors. Here's your seed catalog. And look up the seed and check and make sure that the kind of seed that is being sown matches what the seed that we have in our little seed identification book. And so we want good seed. Good seed will produce the right kind of fruit, and the evil seed will produce the wrong kind of fruit. Now, the enemy is the devil. There's a lot of people who don't believe in the devil. They think of the devil as kind of like a banshee or something like that, some kind of creature that you just kind of spook kids. I tell you, the Lord believed in the devil. And He talked about the devil. And the devil would like nothing better for us than to forget about him. You see, the Son of Man wants people to believe in Him, but the devil doesn't want you to believe in Him. He wants to come out while men sleep. While men slept, the evil one sowed the tares. The devil can put you to sleep and convince you he's not really real. Now just go on and have a good night's sleep and don't worry about the devil. Then he can do his evil, dirty work. And so let's don't forget, the Lord spoke of the devil as a real person that did real harm. And he is the enemy. He is the wicked one. He is the accuser. And he is the deceiver. And so it's the devil that is out there sowing the bad seed. And what does the bad seed produce? It produces children of the wicked one. That's a produce a child of the devil out of the devil's seed. Now the wheat and the tares grew together so that they could not be separated. Some have taken this passage and used it to try to dismiss what is taught elsewhere about church discipline. The argument is that we can't judge anybody and we can't really say what's right and wrong. And what if we withdraw fellowship from the wrong person for the wrong thing and cause problems like that? And they'll just dismiss. They'll say, now, you know, it's like the tares among the wheat. And so we can't make any distinction about that in the church. Now, if that were so, it would dismiss different things that are taught in the Bible. It can't be so. That can't be the right interpretation. Because the Bible doesn't contradict itself. Jesus Himself said in Matthew 18:17, if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen, a publican. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 5, verses 5 and 9, 11 and 15, deliver such a one unto Satan. I wrote unto you in an epistle not to keep company with fornicators. If any man that is called a brother be a fornicator, with such a one know not to eat. Put away from among yourselves that wicked one. Titus says in Titus chapter 3 and verse 10, a man that is an heretic, and that's a factious, divisive person, a man that is a heretic, after the first and second admonition, reject. Now, Jesus did not tell this parable to contradict His own teaching and the teaching of His apostles about church discipline. Now, the reason people get this idea is because it says in Matthew 13:41, they shall gather out of His kingdom all things that offend and them which do iniquity. And so inside of His kingdom, isn't the kingdom the church? And it usually is. But you have to look at the context. In this context, when He's talking about the kingdom in that verse, He's not talking about the church. He's not saying don't gather them out of the church. He's talking about gathering them out of the world. He says very plainly, in Matthew chapter 13 and verse 38, the field is the world. He didn't say the field is the church. He said the field is the world. Well, why then does He say gather them out of His kingdom? The world is His kingdom in the sense that Jesus said, all power is given to me on heaven and on earth. He has dominion over the world. And so it's His kingdom in that sense. And that's the sense we have to understand it in the parable. It's not talking about those who are bent on doing evil out of the fellowship of the church. It's talking about letting them alone in the world. You see, we do not war after the flesh. And the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Now it is in Islam. Islam teaches that. It teaches that you go out and you kill the infidel. You take them out of the world. And that's how Islam is to spread, to go out and kill the infidel. Now, that's what it teaches. That's consistent with its teachings. And there have been those that, under the banner of Christianity, and they've said, well, let's do that too. And they would like to use Christianity, so if they won't be Christians, let's kill them. But that is inconsistent with the teachings of Christ. Christianity is not that way. Our weapons are not carnal. And the kingdom that we read about, that is the church, is not a physical kingdom that propagates itself by military means, not carnal weapons. It's a spiritual kingdom. And so it's a different way of propagation. And we don't go out and blow up abortion clinics and shoot abortionists. And that's not the way that the church goes out and does its work. Does that mean those things are okay? No, they are sinful. But the way the church operates is in a spiritual manner. We convert hearts to the Lord and overcome evil in that way. Not by the carnal weapons of men's warfare. And so, there's going to be a harvest at the end of the world. God's going to take care of that. God knows there's evil people in the world. He knows the children of the kingdom are there, and He knows the children of the wicked ones are there. And it's not up for us to try to take the children of the wicked one out of the world, but God's going to take care of it. Because there's going to be a harvest at the end of the world. And God's going to deal with them. And He spends more time explaining this than any other part of the parable. What He says is, He's going to gather those tares and bind them in the bundles. And they're going to be burned. In Matthew chapter 13, verses 40 through 42, as therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of the world. The Son of Man shall send forth His angels, and they shall gather out of His kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. And there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. The harvest day is coming by and by. And this parable teaches us that you do not want to be a tare. Now that's what I started to just title this lesson. You do not want to be a tare. Heed the warning. We have the parable and the interpretation thereof. And the interpretation is sure, at the end of the world, the angels are going to gather those tares and burn them in a fire. And I'll say it again, you don't want to be a tare. You want to be the wheat. And it makes a difference. If I was not a child of the kingdom this morning, that would strike fear in my heart. We're not promised another day or another moment on this earth, and even if we do, the world is going to end. And the judgment is going to come. And all you tares out there are going to be burned, and you know who you are. And so you want to be one of the children of the kingdom. You want to respond to the good seed and not to that evil seed. So, He's going to gather the wheat into the barn. Now the barn is a place of safekeeping. That's why you put the wheat there. Put it there to preserve it and keep it, and keep it where it is a benefit. And He says in the parable that He gathered the wheat, then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. And my image, I see something like this. I didn't find an old image, but I see that covering over that wheat, that barn with the sun shining in there, and the glow shining off that beautiful wheat in that harvest. And the Bible tells us that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. There's a glorious future awaiting those who respond to the good seed and become the children of the kingdom and the safe keeping of God and share in His glory. And so He'll gather the wheat into His barn. And then he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Did you hear it? Did you hear that parable? Well, I know some of these tares out here look like they're doing mighty good, don't they? You can look out around the world and sometimes the tares look like they're growing better than the wheat are. They're just sticking out there where the angels can get them first. You don't want to be a tare. You want to be one of those among that wheat. And we read 1 Timothy 2:19. You know, we don't always know who's going to heaven or who's going to hell. But God knows. And we read in 2 Timothy 2:19, the foundation of God standeth sure. Having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. You want to be the wheat? And he that hath an ear to hear, let him hear. And let him take this into his heart in faith. And repent. And turn from evil. Confess his name before men. And be baptized into Christ. And live a life bringing him glory. That you may be glorified in the end.